The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Excuse me. Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The title is, "Rabbi, You Are the Son of God." You may be seated. The gospel lessons for this Sunday and next Sunday tell the stories of the recruiting of six of Jesus' apostles. These were Andrew, Peter, James, John, Philip, and Nathanael. All six of these were recruited early in Jesus' ministry, shortly after his return from the 40 days in the wilderness. We know that Matthew was recruited sometime later. For the other five apostles, Thomas, Jude, James the Less, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, we have no recruitment stories in the New Testament. To what did Jesus recruit these 12 men? Medieval portraits of the apostles, you can see this in paintings and stained glass and little pictures in the books called illuminations, portray the apostles with a bishop's mitre, you know, the big hat, it's kind of triangular, on their heads, and a staff that curls at the top in their hands. In the medieval period, bishops were secular rulers, lawgivers, and judges with the power to condemn criminals and their enemies, that is, the bishop's personal enemies, and declare that they're heretics and they would go to the stake. This is what the people in the Middle Ages thought that the apostles were and what Jesus had commissioned them to do. In recent years, a similar idea has surfaced in the American evangelical idea that pastors are called to be corporate executives, that is, CEOs, or the bosses of their church. Jesus did not call his apostles to be bosses who told other people what to do. Jesus told his apostles what he wanted them to do, and he wanted them to do it, not pass it on to somebody else. In Luke 9, 1 to 6, the evangelist describes Jesus' commissioning of the 12. I quote, "Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag, nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So the apostles departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. End of quote. After they had had about 2 years of this experience, and then coaching from Jesus on their duties and what they were to say, he added a few more duties just before his ascension. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he said, quote, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, end of quote. So then, in summary, the 12 apostles were called by Jesus to do these 6 things: cast out demons, heal the sick, preach, baptize, teach Christians his words, and 5, that should be number 6, travel to all the nations to make Christians of them. So there was a travel allowance, I suppose, in their budget. That's part of their job. Except for Judas Iscariot, all the 12 apostles performed these duties with ability and enthusiasm. Jesus had picked well. After Pentecost, they continued their work in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Some went on lengthy missionary trips and returned to Jerusalem, as St. Paul did on 3 major trips. Many of your Bibles have the maps of where he went in the back of your Bible. Others went out to the nations and preached and never came back, as St. Paul did on his 4th trip to Rome, where he was martyred. Though he was not one of the original 12, Paul's missionary stories take up 2/3 of the book of Acts. From the book of Acts and other historical sources from the early church, we know quite a bit about the missionary trips and fates of the original 12 apostles. Here we will just give their itineraries, as it were. Peter traveled to Antioch, Syracuse, not in New York State, by the way, and he ended his journeys in Rome, where he was martyred. Everybody knows that, because the Basilica of St. Peter's is about where he was martyred. Andrew traveled around the shores of the Black Sea, founded the church at Byzantium, that is Istanbul today, and he was martyred at the city of Patras in Greece. That's Andrew. James was martyred by Herod in Jerusalem in the first general persecution of the Christian church, and the first of the 12 who were faithful to be martyred. John traveled to Western Asia Minor, where he was a pastor in Ephesus, and later wrote letters to the churches in Asia Minor from exile on the island of Patmos. You notice he was not martyred, the only one. Philip traveled to Syria, Greece, and Phrygia, and was martyred in Hierapolis, east of Ephesus. Nathanael, who features in our gospel today, traveled to, well, he was quite the traveler, Arabia, Ethiopia, Mesopotamia, Parthia, and finally was martyred in Armenia. Matthew traveled to Macedonia, which is north of Greece, Ethiopia, Persia, and Parthia, and also was martyred. Thomas traveled the farthest east to Parthia and the western coast of India, where he was martyred. Jude traveled to Libya, Mesopotamia, Armenia, and Syria, where he was martyred. James the Less traveled to Egypt, where he was martyred. Simon the Zealot traveled to Egypt, Persia, and Syria, where he was martyred. Well, what can we learn from the stories of the 12 apostles? First, we learn that being an apostle of Jesus in those days was dangerous business. Except for John, all the apostles died as martyrs. Second, we learn that the apostles themselves, personally, were responsible for extending the borders of the Christian church in their lifetime. They pushed the boundaries west to Rome, north to the Crimean Peninsula, which is where part of where the Ukrainian war is happening right now, south to Ethiopia, and east to India in their lifetimes. The missionaries who succeeded them, that is, followed after them, relentlessly pushed those boundaries west, north, south, and east. By the second half of the 5th century, St. Patrick was preaching in Ireland. By the first half of the 7th century, Christian missionaries reached China and erected a church in its largest city, Chang'an. Third, we learn that the missionary expansion of the church was not left by Jesus to chance. It was part of the plan that he had from the very beginning of his ministry. Look at who he picked. When he selected Peter, Philip, Nathaniel, and all the others, he was selecting men who he knew could withstand the rigors of travel in that day. And after his resurrection, they would not run away from the face of danger. They were brave men. You have to be to fish on the Sea of Galilee every day. Fourth, we learn that the work that Jesus gave to his apostles, the 12, still continues today. Although casting out of demons, healing the sick, and miraculous powers ceased in the church after the death of these 12, the other tasks still remain. Jesus still expects the church and its ministers to continue to preach, baptize, teach Christians all of Jesus' words, and travel to the nations to make Christians of them. The people and pastors of Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church, San Mateo, have continued that work of the apostles as we have preached and baptized, taught the Bible to Christians young and old, supported the missionary efforts of the larger church with our offerings, and as we supported our school for so many years. We are doing the apostles' work in today's world, as Jesus planned that we would. Finally, we learn that the purpose of all this missionary activity is not to simply build a religious organization, but to bring people of all nations to say with Nathanael, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." The focus of all truly Christian mission work has been to convince people of who Jesus is and what he has done for our salvation. Everything that we believe, teach, and confess is focused in on Jesus' three-part identity: the Messiah promised by the prophets, the divine Son of God, and the Savior of the world. Everything that we believe, teach, and confess is rooted in and focused on the belief that through Jesus' life, sufferings, and death, you are reconciled to God in Jesus, and that if you believe in Jesus and his salvific work, you have the certain promise of eternal life. This is the gospel which the 12 apostles preached to all the nations, and this is the gospel which we continue to preach and teach today. In Jesus' name, amen.